York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Oh, yes. Hello. How are you? I'm just laughing. Oh, you caught me in a moment. Welcome to the big radio show on this. What is this? Is this Thursday? I think it is. Is today Thursday? I've totally lost track. Yeah, it's Thursday, the 12th day of July, year of our Lord, 2018. I'm laughing because the Peter Strzok hearing is underway in, still going in D.C. And they just went from Congressman Johnson from Georgia, the guy who thought that Guam might tip over if you put too many military bases on it or something like that. And now we got Lou Gohmert. I mean, these are I'm looking at these guys and I'm thinking, this is the best and the brightest we have in our country. Are you kidding me? Anyway, they're high and mighty, and they are looking down on Peter Strzok, and I understand why. The Peter Strzok hearing today is it's interesting, it's entertaining. There's some information in there. It's nice to hear from the man himself, who you can form your own opinions about it. But after reading all these text messages between him and his paramour, and he sits there with a straight face and says, nope. Everybody has political opinions, but it did not affect the investigations. And he was the guy that, amazing that one individual was involved in investigating Hillary about her email server, investigating Donald Trump's campaign, is the guy who launched the campaign, the investigation into Trump's campaign and the Russians. And this guy is lying through his teeth. He just is. He is pretty good at it. He's doing a little bit of patriotism. He's going, I'm all, you know, worried about America. I tell you, America. And when I talked about, you know, we're going to stop Donald Trump, well, I was talking about we the people. Interesting, because when he answered that, when he was asked about that thing about how we are going to stop Donald Trump in one of his text messages, he said, I can't recall exactly on what that was about. And then later he was asked by a different congressman the same question, and that's when he launched into this whole thing about, it wasn't about me and Lisa and the FBI. It was about we the people. Don't you understand? God bless America, man. So this guy is he's wrapping himself in the flag. And Trey Gowdy is going after him. And if you believe that this guy did not let his biases interfere in his work, I got a bridge to sell you. It's beyond amazing. But I look at him this way, and the other part about this is, the Republicans are going after him and going after him with hardballs, and the Democrats are not even going after him with softballs. They're avoiding it, saying we should be talking about something more important. What are we doing this for? Why, we've got children at the border. Seriously. And then they're arguing with each other. They're going back and forth about the rules of the committee. There's two committees that are jointly asking questions. There's 72 members of Congress that are in this hearing room, and they're the ones that are going after Peter Strzok. So I don't blame him for going after him. I think he's lying through his teeth. He's got a credibility problem, major credibility problem. And yet, let's not forget, this is not just one little old law enforcement officer out there. This is not just one bad cop, if you will. This is a very, very senior person in the FBI at the time. He was the head of counterintelligence. There were very few people above him. So very powerful, and I think he let power go to his head. But I want to play a bunch of cuts from today, if you haven't heard the hearing. This and the other thing is, this is his public testimony. But all the congressmen there are griping back and forth at each other about the fact he was in a behind-closed-door hearing 2 weeks ago. And they're all pointing, they want the transcript released and this and that and everything else. And they're saying, well, why not release the transcript? Because, I mean, this is, he's basically answering the same questions he answered 2 weeks ago in the private closed-door hearing. So why are they doing it twice? Because this is for our consumption. This is for their camera time. And I bet you none of this shenanigan stuff went on when the cameras weren't there. So, on one hand, just to set this thing up, what Strzok is talking about, he's trying to sell us on the idea that, hey, we got information that led us to believe that the Russians, remember, he's the head of the counterintelligence, so he's looking for Russian spies all the time. That's his job. Russian spies, Chinese spies, you name it. So he's getting information that people at the Trump campaign are in contact with Russians. And the Russians are not just some Russian dude, but Russians that our counterintelligence people had on their radar. These are spies. These are intelligence officers from Russia, and that they got reports that these guys were involved with, in touch with the Trump campaign. He even went in, I'm not sure if it's in one of our cuts, but he was talking about that we needed to find out whether or not there was any contact, and if so, with whom, and how high up did it go, if it did. And so he was putting lots of ifs and maybes and everything else in there. But so he's trying to tell us, look it, I'm the head of the counterintelligence for the FBI. We get word that the Russians are involved in one of the campaigns. You darn right, we better get involved. We better find out. We better check it out. I mean, that's what we're doing. You call the cops, you say there's a suspicious person in front of my house. You expect them to come and investigate the suspicious person. That's essentially the story he is selling, is that we needed to find out. We needed to check it out. And now we know, there's a Paul Manafort was very much involved in business deals, banking deals, money laundering deals. Those are the accusations against Manafort. And Manafort was the campaign manager. And you've got, just Russians showing up here, Russians showing up there. Papadopoulos saying, yeah, the Russians have some dirt on Hillary. Then the meeting in Trump Tower. So he's got all this stuff to basically fall back on and say, we had a responsibility to go check that out. That's his story. That's what he's trying to sell. Or is this a guy who became so, so hateful of Donald Trump? And it even came out, a little bit of the growl came out about Donald Trump in one of the clips I've got for you, where he made it very clear that we are going to stop him. And if we can't stop him, we're going to take him down. That was very clear when you go through the text and his emails. So is this a bad cop? Is this a cop who had lots of powers? And this guy was not just your normal FBI agent. He had tons of power and was in charge of the investigation regarding Hillary, in charge of the investigation regarding Trump, in charge of the investigation regarding Russian. Did he abuse his power? Did he say, hey, you know what? I'm going to get this guy Because I have the power to do it. Is he the one who interfered with the 2016 election? So, we got a lot to go through. And I want to give you a feel for this. But that's essentially what I have surmised so far. Hey, that was my job. I was supposed to check out what was going on with these Russians. And the other side is simply, and I've seen it. If you've listened to this program at any length of time, that I am very, very pro-law enforcement. But I'm also willing to call out a bad cop when I see one because they make a bad name for everybody. And have I seen a police officer abuse the badge, using their power to make life miserable for somebody? Yep, I sure have. Not often, but I've seen it. So is Peter Strzok just doing his job and not an ounce of his political views interfered with or infected his ability to do an investigation, start an investigation, end an investigation? None of that. He's also the guy who wrote the wording for Jim Comey, reducing the description of Hillary's activities with her server from the wording that would require she be charged with a crime to a wording that would not require she be charged with a crime. Peter Strzok's the guy who changed that wording, working with Comey on that. So when we come back, I'll give you a number of some sounds from the hearing earlier today. Well, it's still going on, but the hearing, the fireworks that led off earlier today. You don't want to miss this part. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. I've also posted on our Facebook page an article by Jazz Shaw, who I like, Jazz. Most of the time I agree with him. And he says, why the Strzok testimony isn't going anywhere. We've talked about that before. Benghazi, you name it. They strut all over the Capitol building, but nothing ever happens. 855-295-6600. Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
Yep, there's 72 of them. 72 members of Congress, and about half are obviously Republicans, half are Democrats. And it's actually kind of hilarious to watch these things if it wasn't so sad. It just again confirms my disdain for these politicians, because most of these 72, they're supposed to have a 5-minute rule. They get 5 minutes. And they talk for some of them for all 5 minutes. And the guy that's there testifying that they called in to testify, Peter Strzok, in many of these 5-minute windows, doesn't say a thing. They just get on their high horse and start giving a speech because they got the 5 minutes. It just shows how incompetent, what buffoons most of these members of Congress are. All right. Now, one guy that is not a buffoon is Trey Gowdy. And Trey Gowdy started off this morning because he's the chairman of the Oversight Committee. And he says that it is clear as day that Strzok was biased in his investigation of Trump.
Bias is the prejudging of a person, a group, or a thing. It usually has a negative connotation, but it is a preconceived position or a prejudgment. It is the making up of your mind ahead of time based on anything other than the facts, and that is exactly what he did. Bias is saying Hillary Clinton should win the presidency 100-0 when she was still under investigation, wasn't even the nominee, hadn't been interviewed, and 30 other witnesses had also not been interviewed. In March of 2016, Agent Strzok had Clinton winning 100-0. even though the investigation was far from being over. That is the prejudging of someone's innocence before all the evidence is in. On the other hand, he said Trump would be destabilizing, called him an idiot, abysmal, bigoted nonsense, called him a disaster, said he should F himself. Strzok promised to stop Trump from becoming president before the investigation even began. He talked longingly of Trump resigning 2 months after he was inaugurated and well before the special counsel investigation even began. Strzok even talked about impeachment the day special counsel was appointed. That is prejudging guilt, it is prejudging punishment, and it is textbook bias.
So, as the chairman of the Oversight Committee, he gets to ramble on, but a lot of them are. So, that was him rambling on. And then this is Trey Gowdy and Strzok having a back and forth about his text messages about Hillary.
March of 2016, you wrote, God, Hillary should win 100 million to zero. And I'm assuming Hillary would be former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton?
That's correct.
All right. In March of 2016, weren't you investigating her for potential mishandling of classified information?
We were.
Had you interviewed her yet?
No.
Had you interviewed more than 30 other witnesses that wound up being interviewed?
I would have to check the case file, but I'll take your representation.
Well, if she had said something incriminating in your interview that took place months later of her, would she have won $100 million to zero then?
Likely not, no.
Well, then why wouldn't you wait until the investigation was over before you have her the nominee and winning a general election against an opponent that hadn't even been named yet? $100 million to zero, Agent Strzok? That's how bad she should win?
Mr. Gowdy, those personal expressions of my observing the political process of the presidential primaries had no bearing on my actions of any investigation to include the investigation of Secretary Clinton.
You couldn't think
or anybody else. Sir,
you couldn't think of a single person that would not vote for Hillary Clinton for president? $100 million to zero, Agent Strzok?
So that was clearly hyperbole, which I...
Well, let's say it was hyperbole. Let's divide it by 10. How about we say it was hyperbolic and divide it by 10? 100 million divided by 10, I'm pretty sure it's 10 million. Zero divided by 10 is still zero. You couldn't think of a single solitary person that was going to vote for her for president before you interviewed her and while you were supposed to be investigating her.
Congressman, clearly that's not the truth. Clearly I could envision millions of Americans who are likely and did vote for then
candidate. Well, you wrote it.
My point, sir.
Did you write it? Did you write that?
I did write that, sir.
Okay. Were you under duress?
Political expression engaging in hyperbole.
All right. So the question is, he says, my personal beliefs had no bearing on my investigation. Do you believe him? Do you believe that he could separate his personal biases versus his ability to investigate not only Hillary Clinton, but also the Trump campaign? Who do you believe? What do you believe? 855-295-6600.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. And I thought at least we'd play some of these back and forth that went on in Congress this morning because it was pretty testy. Peter Strzok is there, the FBI agent. And a number, you know, the Democrats are throwing softballs, the Republicans are throwing hardballs. It really is coming down to, do you believe him when he says, because he's repeated it throughout this hearing, that his personal biases had no bearing on the investigations that he was in charge of. I try to simplify this down from something going on somewhere else in the world and just find a police officer that that hates you, cannot stand you, detests you, tells everybody that he can tell what a terrible person you are, uses all kinds of adjectives that we can't repeat on the air. And you think that police officer can make trouble for you by abusing his badge or her badge. This is why What bothered me was some of the softball Democrat questions. Were why are we going after you, Peter Strzok? Why are you the one where the Republicans are being so tough on? Well, because you don't want a bad cop. And if you had a bad cop in your local police department and everybody knew about it, you get rid of them. The other part behind this is, using a local police department as my example, when we have these stories where a police officer is involved in a shooting, and if the circumstances are suspect about what the person who was shot by the police officer, what that person was doing or what the person was up to, if the police officer sticks to, whether it's the truth or not, if they stick to the "I feared for my life," they will never, ever be convicted of anything. And Peter Strzok is sticking with my personal biases, because he can't deny that. My personal biases had no bearing on my investigations. And he's repeated that and repeated it and repeated it. Now, one other thing. They've got his FBI documents, text messages and emails. They got all those. Something like 7,000 of them. I don't know when he had time to work. He was texting all the time. But they asked him, they looked into his personal phone. And he says, hey, the inspector general already did all of that. Yeah, but what happened with the inspector general says, all right, I need the emails and text messages from your personal phone. And so what he did was he said, okay, I will go through my personal phone, my personal email account, and I will determine which ones are personal and which ones are related to my job. And I will turn over to you, the FBI's Inspector General, all of my emails and text messages that had to do with my work. What about the other ones? I have determined that the other ones are personal and you can't see them. Let's see. Where did we hear that before? Oh, that's right. Hillary Clinton said, well, I've gone through my lawyers have gone through my server and have determined that 33,000 of them are about Chelsea's wedding and about yoga classes, and so you don't get to see those, and I've deleted those. So they're gone. I wiped them with a cloth. She and her lawyers determined which ones the investigators could look at. I didn't know that's the way that investigations worked. I thought if the police come knocking on your door and they have a warrant, they should be able to take everything. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Here's another one. Strzok says that he switched to a desk job. This is when Mueller fired him from the Mueller investigation. And remember, we were talking about him without knowing who he was, about Mueller has dumped this guy who was the top counterintelligence FBI agent, and he's now working in HR? What did he do? Well, now we know who he is and what he did. And it was because Mueller found all these text messages between him and Lisa Page. But his story is that he switched to a desk job because of the perception of bias, not because there was any bias in the investigation.
And your testimony is Bob Mueller did not kick you off because of the content of your text. He kicked you off because of some appearance that he was worried about.
My testimony, what you asked and what I responded to, was that he kicked me off because of my bias. I'm stating to you it is not my understanding that he kicked me off because of any bias, that it was done based on the appearance. If you want to represent what you said accurately, I'm happy to answer that question, but I don't appreciate what was originally said being changed.
I don't give a damn what you appreciate, Agent Strzok. I don't appreciate having an FBI agent with an unprecedented level of animus working on two major investigations during 2016.
Yeah. I like Trey Gowdy. I mean, Strzok got kind of cocky today. Look, he was a powerful guy, and he has been brought down big time. So he's trying to protect his ego, you can bet. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Let's talk to Gary in California. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Tom,
Gary.
How are you, sir?
Doing good.
Hello, Tom.
Hi. Good. We're waiting. Yes, hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Tom? Okay. Would you like me to make my comment?
Okay, that's enough. I'm, you know. How many times have you had somebody call Talk Radio you listen to and you go, well, would you like me to make my comment? What do you think you called for? Go back to the hearing. This is Congressman Bob Goodlatte, who's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. It's the Judiciary and Oversight Committees are jointly on this. Goodlatte has, well, let me just play it for you, the back and forth with Peter Strzok.
How many other cases on which you have worked do you recall opining on the disposition of the case months ahead of interviewing multiple witnesses?
I remember quite a few cases where I or agents would discuss the prospects of the outcome of the case with prosecutors as the case was going on, from the beginning of the case, talking about what crimes may or may not be relevant, as the case proceeded to identify which elements may or may not be strong or demonstrable, as well as towards the end when we were trying to shore up evidence that may or may not be there.
But and let me ask you this about that. In regard to those cases, was it normal behavior on your part to chat with colleagues in the manner you did on the Russia case about how much you despise the very person you're investigating or complimenting the person you're investigating in the Clinton case? Is that typical?
Sir, I would draw a distinction between commenting on case-related matters versus discussion of personal belief. I think those are very different matters than saying this person as a witness was not credible or this person as a target or a subject did or didn't do something. That is a very different
matter. So you could completely separate out what your personal opinion is from what you discussed with others in investigations.
I'm telling you, sir, I separated out my personal belief from any.
But you did not do that with regard to Attorney Page, who was also involved in these investigations.
Sir, I disagree
correct?
With that. I separated out my personal beliefs from any action I took officially as an FBI agent every day.
So he's sticking with the line. I could separate myself out from my investigation versus my personal beliefs. That's what he's asking you to believe. That's what Congress is asking him questions about to find out if they believe it. Do you believe he was able to separate out his personal bias versus the investigations of Hillary and Trump? 855-295-6600.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
Part of the hearing where Peter Strzok explains his text that said, "We will stop it." Cut five.
Sir, I think it's important when you look at those texts that you understand the context in which they were made and the things that were going on across America. In terms of the text that we will stop it, you need to understand that that was written late at night, off the cuff, and it was in response to a series of events that included then-candidate Trump insulting the immigrant family of a fallen war hero. And my presumption, based on that horrible, disgusting behavior, that the American population would not elect somebody demonstrating that behavior to be president of the United States. It was in no way, unequivocally, any suggestion that me, the FBI, would take any action whatsoever to improperly impact the electoral process for any candidate.
Well, seems like he hates him pretty much. And he was, you heard him, he's still mad. He still is angry about Donald Trump. He said it was late at night that he wrote that we will stop it when asked about will he become president. No, we will stop it. Who's we? He said it was written late at night. And the thing that made him mad was that was the family that was insulted by Donald Trump, candidate Trump. The family, they lost their son. I believe they are Muslim, I think, if I remember right. Anyway, he called it disgusting. Called it disgusting. He's still furious about that. Okay, but did that interfere in either starting the investigation against Trump or ending the investigation against Hillary? That's the question. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Jocelyn in Auburn. Hello, Jocelyn.
How do you do?
Good. What you
I
got?
I have a very simple statement from a law enforcement position. If I had a suspect who was behaving the way this gentleman is and saying the things he is saying, I would have him in cuffs and down in the office so fast. He's dangerous, and no one can separate their politics out completely from their job. We know that. And anyone who can is dangerous.
Well,
Usually drug abusing.
It's an emotional reaction that he's having. I will tell you a very quick story. It's not exactly the same at all. I was dispatched to the scene of a fatal car accident. I get there, and guess who the driver was who killed the other person and was at fault? My cousin.
I don't. Oh.
So I immediately got on the radio, called for my supervisors, and said, you've got to send some other. There were other troopers on the way, but I said, I got to leave. I can't be part of this investigation. You can't when you get too close to something like that. You cannot be completely separated from something that you are emotionally involved with and that will affect your ability to investigate whatever it is you're investigating. So I got the heck off of that immediately, and my
and
sergeant had no problems. Yeah. So this guy...
That's the right thing to do. This guy here, if he really can't separate the two completely, is a Jekyll and Hyde to start with, and that's dangerous. But he should not be representing America.
Well, he's representing law enforcement. He's representing the FBI.
I understand that. He shouldn't be. And by now, somebody should have pulled his badge and gun.
You ever seen anybody abuse their badge? I have. Not often.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you are a bad cop and you abuse your badge, you should be in jail. I think this guy abused his badge.
Still abusing it and abusing the American public at the same time.
Well, at this point, he's so far in, he got caught literally and figuratively with his pants down. He has got those text messages are doozies, and he can't deny it. So he's got to just lie his way out of this thing.
Well, you can't lie your way out of it. That's the problem for him.
Well, no, you can, because how do you know? How do you know what was in his head? You cannot get into a person's head. He says
you also can't separate out your true feelings from your job. And if your job is to investigate Hillary or Donald or numbnuts down the road, then you can't have any feelings about it when you're investigating.
You know who the person is who started the investigation against Trump and the Trump campaign? It's this guy.
I do not.
He's the guy who started it. We need to open a file, an investigation file, on Donald Trump and his campaign. Do you believe that he was selling it on the idea that, hey, I'm in charge of counterintelligence, and we got information there were Russians making contact with people from the Trump campaign? I mean, you look with the hindsight of 2018 and you go, well, there was Manafort been doing business with Russians for a long time and Ukraine oligarchs and Mm-hmm. There's a few, you know, he's got a thread of the truth that he's using. That usually is the case.
Right.
Yeah, well, in a con job, you always take some of the truth and then put it in with the rest of the lie. And then people say, well, there was some truth in there.
Well, that's true. But if you're running a con job and you're up against our representatives, you better be awfully good at it. He's not. Or he wouldn't be getting so upset.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Jocelyn, thank you. Very much. I appreciate your call. Let's get Missy in here before the break. Missy, hi. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi. Thank you, Tom, for taking the call. So the problem I'm having with all of this is, you know, everybody has opinions about people, especially when there's a presidential election coming on. A lot of people say things to their friends that don't mean anything as far as actions, but their opinions. They don't like this person. They think he's going to be elected. They don't think there's any way he'll win. Where's the evidence that he actually did anything? He did not do anything to stop the election. He didn't do anything to leak the information that there was an investigation going on Trump.
True.
Which, you know, that's the thing that's really annoying about the whole FBI thing is they announced they're investigating Hillary, reopened the investigation, but not once was there any leak about the fact that all along they're investigating Trump.
So that is a very good point. But you asked a question. What did he do? Number one, on the Hillary investigation, they were working. He was the guy who changed the language that Comey used from grossly negligent to extremely careless. Because grossly negligent is criminal, extremely careless is not. He's the one who changed those words. He's also the one who opened the file and started the investigation of Trump. That's what he did. That's why I go, yeah, you've got a point. He did not disclose the Trump investigation.